It's good to be here on this last service and last Sunday of the year. This time next week, it will be a new year. I don't know if it's the word new or if it's the aspect of a new beginning or whatever, but after Christmas, people usually look forward to a new year. Does anyone feel like that this year? Anyone looking forward to a new year? Yes. Well, let me ask you, whether you're here or online, let me ask you, what year are we living in this week? I'll try you again, Mary Jane. Well, this week we're living in 2020. What year will we be living in next week, Hazel? 2021. Let me ask you all, is a week going to change anything of the situation we're in? It is not. It is not. But fear not. This is the year of the Lord. As Fiona said, it always will be. It always has. He reigns. But next week is going to be a new year. Maybe some of you have New Year resolutions. I don't know if you do. I have a New Year resolution. I don't normally do this, but I do this year. Anyway, do you want to know what my New Year resolution is for this year? Yeah. My New Year resolution for 2021 is to get out the house more. Who's with me? Yes. See more people, socialise a bit more. No, for serious though, my New Year resolution, which I don't normally do, but I am this year, is that I actually want to use the term AD when I'm dating and stuff a little bit more. More as a personal reminder, but also as a proclamation that Jesus is Lord. You know, whatever we think about who rules here and now, whatever we think about what's going on in the world, as Fiona said, Jesus is Lord. Paul says that in 2 Corinthians 4. He says, what we proclaim is Jesus as Lord. So, we're not just living in 2020, we're living in AD 2020, the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. Might not look like it when you look back in this year, might not seem like it. You might think to yourself, is this, all of this that's happened this year, is this what it's like to live in the year of the Lord, really? But that's not what it's about. See, where did we even get this number from, 2020, except the event that we celebrated 3 days ago on Christmas? Why has it become a worldwide dating system to base our year around the arrival of one person? One person. And even in secular society, even in the move, that children are not taught any longer, and their schools are not taught Latin, they're not taught this either. Maybe they're taught BCE and CE before Common Era and Common Era. But still, the hinge point is one person 2,000 years ago. Still, cannot escape the fact that history hinges on this one person. And this is the thing, you know, we might not use this terminology. He would still be Lord, whether we dated our calendar by him or not. He would still be Lord. See, history doesn't define Jesus. Jesus defines history. So BC means before Christ. And that is really a proclamation that the Christ has come. Not everyone likes that. Some people reject that. Not everyone believes the Christ has come, but he has. The Christ has come. It implies that the Christ has arrived. That's what Christmas is about. And Christ means the anointed one, the king that was promised, the king that's come to rescue and redeem the nation and redeem the world indeed and rule the way that God wants. That is to say that Jesus is the one. He is the Christ that has come. And it's a bold thing. Many people reject it. But he actually is, and we know this. So BC is something that we should use. As Fiona read in Galatians says, before faith came, we were captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming of faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith and not by works, not by the law. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian, for in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. We were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world, but when the fullness of time had come, as Fiona said, when the fullness of time had come, when the set time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. At the right time, after thousands of years, people were waiting thousands of years, eating a bit of chocolate every single day for thousands of years. Finally, he's come. We're sick of chocolate. I know it seems that way when we're waiting for him to come again, but we're not alone. God has set a day. The fullness of time, he comes at the right time. Christ has come. He came at the right time, and his name is Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God. So BC marks the era before he came. And then we have AD, which many people think means after death. But it actually means Anno Domini, or Anno Domini Nostri Jesu Christi, which means in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. So why do we use that? Why do we use AD instead of AC, after Christ, or something like that? Well, let me tell you just very briefly about the man who introduced AD and why he did it. And you can see if there's any good sense to use it now. And a wee preface, even if I want to do this in the new year, it's not in the Bible. It's not a requirement. It doesn't make you any more holy, but it's really good. So it was about 1,500 years ago, there was a man, a monk, a Christian monk named Dionysius. And in the ancient world, they used to date things by the year of the beginning of a reign of a ruler. So for instance, it would be X amount of years in the reign of so-and-so. And you can see examples of this in the Bible. In Isaiah chapter 36, verse 1, it says, in the 14th year of King Hezekiah. So they marked the dates by the king. Or in Luke 3, verse 1, it says, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar. So again, the dating system was on the beginning of a reign of a ruler. So about 1,500 years ago, this monk Dionysius wanted to change the dating system and introduce AD, because the dating system in his day started not from the advent of Jesus, but rather the beginning of the reign of Diocletian, a Roman emperor in the 3rd century. And what you need to know about Diocletian, about all the emperors, about this Diocletian in the 3rd century, was he was a bad egg. He did not like Christians. And he was the last emperor who brought about the last and most severe persecution of Christians in the history of the Roman Empire, Diocletian. So bad was this persecution against the Christians that he published four major edicts of increasing persecution. The first was to burn down churches, to burn down scriptures, to take away the treasures that belonged to the church, and to rid the world of Christianity. And he actually prohibited Christians from assembling to worship. And then Christians were deprived of the right to petition the courts as well. They were stripped of their rights, stripped of their property. The increasing persecution meant that another edict was set that he would imprison bishops and priests. So many bishops and priests that he imprisoned that common criminals had to be released to make room for them. And they could be freed. You could be freed if you only made a sacrifice to the gods. The final edict was the worst, the most severe. And it required all people, men, women, and children, to assemble and gather out in the streets in the public and make a collective sacrifice to the gods. And if you refused, you were executed. Men, women, and children. This was his way of trying to rid the world of Christians. But it did not work. Just as it is now, just as it was then, the year of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another emperor arose, Constantine, who would stop all Christian persecution and make Christianity the religion of the empire. By the 500s, when we get to Dionysius, the dating system that was used was still about this awful emperor who persecuted Christians. And remember, the emperor was the Lord. He was Lord over all. So in his efforts to renew the dating system, Dionysius also did not want to continue the memory of this tyrant who persecuted Christians. So thus he changed it to the year of our Lord Jesus Christ and used his arrival as the start date. Jesus is Lord, and the Magi came to see him when he was a baby, proclaimed him, bowed down, and recognized him as king even then. Now you might say, that's a big deal. What's the big deal with that? How does that affect us? It's a bit of history, but How does it affect us? Well, here's the thing. We mark out dates by the events that happen, and then we memorialize them with the big events that happen. So if I was to shout out some dates, maybe you would recognize the things that happened. 1517, the Reformation, Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses to the door. 1912, anyone remember? Titanic sunk. Or 1919 was the
Treaty of Versailles.
Or 2001 or 9/11, the attack on the World Trade Centers in America. Or what would mark out the year 2020? You might have forgotten all the things that have happened, some of the things, major bushfires in Australia, Prince Harry and Meghan quitting the royal family, helicopter crash killing basketball superstar along with his daughter and others, mass protests about racism, fights and riots, explosion in Beirut, famous deaths, other wildfires, a new president, and of course, the rise of a virus and the subsequent lockdown. But should 2020 be marked as the year of coronavirus? No. Should the year 2020 be marked as the year of lockdown? No. AD 2020. See, the big question I've been asking myself throughout the whole year is if our battle is not against flesh and blood, then are there things in this world that we're being distracted by? Now, these major things might not be the most significant thing in your life that's happened. Maybe something else has happened that has affected you personally more than these things. What has been the most significant thing in your life that's happened this year? See, I know friends that have had babies this year. That's a wonderful thing. That's great news. That's joy. But we know, whatever it is, we know that whatever it is, it belongs to a world that's subject to all these other things, a world that's passing away. See, we're learning the same lessons, aren't we? We're simply not in control, no matter who you are. We're learning that. This virus, this global pandemic has shown us that it doesn't matter how famous you are. It doesn't matter how talented you are. Doesn't matter how much money you have, doesn't matter how important you are, doesn't matter what age you are or even where you are in the world. When you're in this world, you're affected by a world that is passing away, a world of darkness. In this world and in this kingdom, no one is really in control of what happens. No one. And no one really has the power over life and death in this world. But here's the thing. Here's the thing, a reflection at the end of 2020. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, the Lord, then you do not belong to this world. You are a citizen of another kingdom. Remember what Jesus said when he was standing a prisoner before Pilate. John chapter 18. When he was questioned whether he was the king of the Jews, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not of this world." See, when Jesus is talking about his servants fighting for him, he isn't just talking about me and you. He's talking about a whole host of holy and powerful angels that would be fighting. We would see them fighting if our fight was with flesh and blood. But our fight is not with flesh and blood. And they are fighting principalities and powers. And so should we, but our fight is not with flesh and blood, because his kingdom is not of this world. See, that's why we can look back at a year like this one and still say, this is the year of our Lord. Should we expect to see nations and governments and things working out for his glory here in this kingdom when it's not his kingdom? Nevertheless, we proclaim that Jesus is Lord. And we pray his kingdom come, and his will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. This is not his kingdom, but we belong to his kingdom. See, we say that even in 2020, this is the year of the Lord Jesus Christ, because no one here, not our government, no one in power on this earth has power except that it's granted from above. Again, when Pilate said to Jesus, "Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" And Jesus answered, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above." No authority. Have we lost sight of that? Does that not still apply to us today in this? Not that we should agree with every action of every authority, but we should know that the Lord is in control and the Lord reigns. See, nothing has happened this year that has escaped the authority of our Lord Jesus. When things on earth seem out of control, and even every authority has lost control and rules imperfectly and cannot stop death, we must remember that our Lord is in power and our Lord is in control, and he is the one that brings life. Let's not be distracted by complaining about those in power, but rather keep proclaiming him who really is in power. Especially now. See, us who believe in Jesus, we know the Lord. Jesus is Lord and we know him, but what about those who don't? What about those who are in the darkness? What about those who don't have something to look forward to? What about those whose hope is 2021? What hope is there when the whole world is scrambling about in the dark, trying to stop death, but can't? Now more than ever, we should hold out the hope that we have, shining the light of Christ into a world slow to realize its own darkness. Now, don't get me wrong. I want this to end as much as any of you. I want to see my friends. I want to see my family. I want to gather. I don't want to get ill. I don't want to see people die. But I also don't want to keep being fooled into thinking that we can have the life that we hope for in this world or this kingdom. I don't want my hope to be 2021. I don't want my hope to be a new government or a new vaccine or a new whatever. Not that I don't like those things, but I don't want my hope to be in anything that can be shaken. We shouldn't be surprised, as John said, nor should we be swayed or shaken when things like this happen. I know too well myself that my own comfort, my own joy, my own peace, and my own freedom are easily disturbed, and I don't like it when that happens. But often, I think that I'm just getting too settled in this kingdom, and I lose sight of his kingdom. See, that's where my joy will be, in his kingdom. That's where the peace and security will be, in his kingdom. That's where life and freedom and light is, in his kingdom. See, should we be fighting about the earthly liberties that have been taken away from us, or should we be holding out a liberty to those in this world that the world cannot give them? We know about a liberty that the world cannot give. So let us not fret about the things that are taken away and hold out to those that do not know a liberty that is in Jesus Christ, a liberty that will take us beyond death, beyond pandemics, beyond darkness, because the devil would love us to be so distracted by these things. And if Jesus came now instead of then, we might likely make the same mistakes that they did then. We might try to make him king by force. But here's the thing, we are not fit just now for his kingdom. In this world, is not fit for a king like him. His exalted, resurrected body does not belong in a world like this. And our current bodies don't belong in a kingdom like his. But glory be to God that he will give us a new body. Our hope is not in this world and not in this body. So neither should we expect to find the nations of this world to be ruled like he would rule them. Clearly, the kingdoms of this world are shakable, but his is not. See, look at us now. Jesus is on the move. We are in church today. We are gathered in his name. How many churches in Scotland can say that, or in the United Kingdom, or in the world can say that? We should be gathered. More churches should be gathered. More Christians should be gathered. We should be gathered because we gather in the name of the one who is Lord. We gather to proclaim the one who is Lord. And we gather to hold out light to the world that's in darkness. Be encouraged. We gather in his name today. He has done more in this year than we realize. This is the year of the Lord. So if 2020 does anything, let it not surprise those who belong to another kingdom, but rather shake up those who are still in the darkness to see that the world is passing away. Nothing in this world is going to stop the world and all its inhabitants passing away, but there is one who has a kingdom that will never pass away. And he is able to take me and you there. He's able to take anyone there. And we must proclaim his name so that those that we love, those that we know, those out there in the darkness can be part of his kingdom too. Let us look to the Lord who has made a way for all of us. And let us endure the hardships of a dying world to proclaim eternal life in Jesus the risen Lord. Let us remind ourselves of these things.